Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apaya, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of three of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore thou, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son, Onesiphorus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account.
Yes, amen.
I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, and my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that. So turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter 11 is stand to our feet. And we'll be preaching out of verse 20, 21, and 22. And I want to preach a thought tonight, passing down the faith. Passing down the faith. Here we see this in chapter 11, verse 20. It says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for those you've gathered together in this place, the house of God. We do appreciate, Lord, the safe travel, Lord, of the Teague family, Lord. I appreciate, God, how you take care of them, and God, you provided for them. And then tonight, Lord, we pray as well for those, dear God, who are maybe not able to make it tonight for some reason. God, I pray that you meet their needs wherever they may be. And then, Lord, those that are here, God, I pray you help us to hear your word. God, I pray you draw us unto thee. God, help us to see tonight, Lord, as our faith is so important, and God, how we must pass it down. And God, how we must give the faith tonight, dear God, that we have, Father, to us, to others tonight, dear God, that are going to be living when we die. Oh, God, give us the strength, the help tonight, dear God, to know to do that and how to do it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. These verses here, these three verses, is talking about when they're dying. And so we see that there in that verse 20, Isaac is dying and he's blessing. And we see Jacob is dying. We saw Joseph is died. And so we're talking about three of these men tonight who are patriarchs, I guess the Bible would teach and would give to us. And so we understand and know that it began with Abraham, and so the father of faith. And so tonight we can see that it was all the way down to Joseph, and so that's about the four generations down, and the faith is still there. I believe tonight one of the problems that I see in churches today is that, and I don't know all what the problems are, except the problem I see is that the next generation behind us is not coming to church. And we find ourselves coming to church as parents tonight, or maybe as grandparents. And as we come to church and we believe in God, we believe in Christ, we believe in the Word of God, we believe in truth, we believe in faith, and yet the next generation behind us or under us, it just seems like they don't follow. There was a day, though, in American history that there was churches that had those who got saved, and the mama and the dad would get saved, and the children would get saved, and the mom and dad would have the pleasure of worshiping with their children in the same church, and then that children, they would go out and get their spouse, and then they would have children. And then they would come to the church, the same church as mom and daddy went to. And then the grandchildren were at the same church. And churches for years have continued on by of faith unto faith. But we don't see that hardly no more, it don't seem. It don't seem like tonight, dear God, that God has given us, it seems, generations after us that would follow the faith, that would follow our God, that would love our Lord. That would be attending to our church and to show forth that our children and grandchildren, that where we go and what we hear and whom we under is valuable and is so valuable to me that I would recommend that church, that pastor, to you. And so we're finding a decline in that, aren't we? We're finding today something's gone wrong. Something's happened. Something is not like it should be, like it ought to be. And I don't know all of the answers there, but I just see what I see. I think you see it as I see it tonight. If all of our children tonight came to this church, we would have a church that's full. If all our children and grandchildren would come to this church, and if we so see it as a member of this church, being a member, that it would be a church that I would recommend, a church that I would commend, a church that I would tell everybody and anyone, yeah, come to my church. If you don't feel like that tonight, well, then you probably need to find a church that you can feel that way toward. Amen? And so tonight I'll say in my broken of heart, an understanding that it just kind of don't really mesh with me well is, why don't our children come to our church? Why don't our grandchildren? Why is that not happening? And so it's not just our church, though. I know churches all over Houston are the same way. It just seems like that you have to get new people. You have to get new visitors. You got to get new members. And that's part of what church is all about, doing that. I understand that. But it seemed like that the families would just grow up here and continue to go here and get married and serve God here. And it would just be one continual generation after generation after generation. I believe that's the idea that God has presented to us, and we see it right here in this thought. Number one, I want you to notice in this passing down of faith that Abraham's faith at death. As we see that tonight, where we've been preaching on teaching on Abraham on Wednesday nights, we see that in chapter 11 and verse 13 of Hebrews. And if you go before that, you'll see Abraham and you see Sarah. Then it says this in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And so we find that these people, such as Abraham and all that were with Abraham, that were living by faith, they believed God and they believed what God said concerning the promises. They just believed it. And they didn't reach it. They didn't see it. They wasn't there when it happened. God gave them the promises. For example, the promises in Genesis chapter 12. Turn there with me. Let's look at it once again. We have so many times, but just want to give you what God promised Abraham and what Abraham didn't get to receive and what Abraham wasn't there. He died before all of these promises were fulfilled. The Bible says in Genesis 12, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So what is God promising Abraham? He's promising a nation. Abraham, there's going to come a nation after you. There's going to be a large nation. It's going to be a nation that you're not going to be able to count it. You're not going to be able to number it. It's going to be like the sand of the sea and the stars in the air. And so Abraham never saw that. He didn't live long enough for that to take place, but it was a promise that God gave him. God gave him a promise of a nation, but God gave him a promise of a people. He said, there's going to be the people of God. There's going to be the people who trust in me, the people who's going to follow me, and you're going to be the leader of it. You're going to be the one who begins it. You're the one I'm going to use to be the father of the Jews. He never saw that. We find that he also promised him a land. And so some land that he was going to take this people, and they were going to worship God there, they were going to serve God there, they were going to follow God there. Well, Abraham never got there. Number four, he promised him salvation, eternal life, heaven. He never come to the place where all of these promises, except when he died, did he get there. But while he was on earth and these promises that God gave to him, we find that it was completely based upon faith. All was based upon faith. And so we see that Abraham, who is faith at his death, he never received the promises, he never doubted the promises, but he never rejected the promises. See, that's the faith that we're starting with tonight. You got to start with the faith of Abraham, because it was the faith of Abraham that went down to Isaac and down to Jacob and down to Joseph and then to Joseph's two sons and to the children of Israel. And so Abraham's faith that he had tonight on the promises of God that he never received, he never doubted, and he never rejected. And that's the kind of faith that you and I are going to have to display in this life of 2021. We may not ever see all the promises that God has promised us. We may not ever see all of the things that God has intended for us today on this side. But we have to live in such a way, by the way of faith, that we must, even though that we don't receive them, we have no doubt of them. We got no doubt that Jesus is coming. And that's what we must live. We must have that faith that Jesus is coming. We got no doubt today that the Word of God is true. We got no doubt. We got no doubt today that Jesus is the Lord. And so we find that these things that are told upon us and given to us, we can never reject them. Because once we reject them, it ends. This faith comes to an end. When we come to the place of doubt, it will come to a place of ceasing. And so Abraham, he didn't receive them, but he never doubted them, but he never rejected them either. And so this faith began. And we've seen this already as we preached in the last weeks before. Number two, Abraham's faith at death. But I want you to notice Abraham's son's faith at death. Now, who was Abraham's son? It was Isaac. And we see there in verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. He did that right before he died. And so we're talking about a death again. We're talking about at the end of his life. We're talking about that this Isaac, he believed what God promised. He just believed it. And turn to Genesis tonight, chapter 17, and look what the God has to say concerning Isaac and this thought about the promises of God. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, it says, "And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him." Any questions? Any questions to Sarah or Abraham or even to Isaac? No questions. God said that that very same promise that I gave Abraham will be the same promise that I give Isaac. The same covenant, the same establishment, the same promises will be the same. And so what does Isaac get promised? He gets promised a nation. He gets promised a people. He gets promised a land. He gets promised a salvation. Isaac does. Isaac never received it. Never got to the land. He never received that nation, that people. He never reached it. But he never doubted it. Nowhere in the scripture you'll find he doubted. Nowhere do you find that he rejected it. And so we find Isaac at his death, taking on that faith of Abraham that brought down, passed down to Isaac. We find number three, Abraham's grandson. Faith at death. Now who was his grandson? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. It says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon his staff." Now, what did Jacob believe? He believed the promises of God. Turn back to Genesis chapter 28. Keep your finger there at Hebrews 11. We'll be back there in just a minute. Genesis chapter 28 in verse 10. Look what God had to say to Jacob concerning these promises. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. He says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He lighted upon a certain place, tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took the stones of that place, put them in his pillows, lay down in that place to sleep. He dreamed. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth. Top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham." That's where the faith began. "Thy father, and the God of Isaac." I'm the same God Abraham has, and I'm the same God you have, Isaac. "The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, into thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee." So we find here in the way of the way of Jacob, we find that God says, "What I promised to your father Isaac is exactly what I will promise to you, Jacob." Well, as I promised to Abraham, that faith that he had in me, that I will fulfill those promises, is the same faith that Isaac had. And now we have read it's the same faith that Jacob will have. He will believe in the promises of God. He'll believe that God will be the one who will give them a nation. He'll give them a people. He'll give them a land. And he'll give them a salvation. That's what faith is all about. Now we see the faith of Abraham down into the grandson. Now, wouldn't it be good to us tonight to be able to see that same faith in our grandchildren? Man, wouldn't it be something tonight that we would have that type of faith, we'd have that strong of faith, we would have that determined faith, we'd have that faith that is seen and known and understood, and that even our children would understand and know that the faith that we have is the faith they could have, and then that faith run down through the grandchildren? I say to you, that's something tonight that I believe that we need. That's something tonight that at least we are to begin to pray about. We are to begin to seek the Lord over. We are to begin to ask God, "God, help me tonight, that faith that I have demonstrated in you, the faith and the promises of God that you have given me, that I may share them. I may display them. I must somehow, some way persuade and convince my children that He is the God of God and the Lord of Lords tonight, and that my grandchildren will run through the parents. Now, what happens on some occasions, and a lot of occasions, is the one who's saved, they begin to have faith in God. They begin to live a life of faith. The next thing you know, their children kind of cut out on God. They kind of just quit God. I mean, they raise up in church. They're told the Bible. They're given the truth. And then all of a sudden, they go out into the world. They begin to live like they want to. And then when they have children, which is the grandchildren of the one who is saved, then the grandma or the grandpa feels the burden upon them to give their grandchildren the gospel, to give them the faith, to give them the truth of God's Word. But we're skipping a generation. It should be that you, as saved, will give the gospel and the truth and the promises to your children, and then your children will pick up the promises and pick up the faith and pick up the Lord and give them to their children, so that your grandchildren will come to you and say, "Mama, Papa, let me tell you about God." Rather than you as grandma and grandpa, let me tell you about God. Who's God? We live in a house where God's not even there. And we find that to be such heartbreaking tonight. It's hardening to our hearts tonight to know that we live for God and we serve the Lord and we come to church and we're faithful. We're doing all we can do in order to please God, but our children are not. And then if our children are not, you better believe that our grandchildren are going to be even further away. Then your great-grandchildren are going to be further away. Help us tonight, Lord. And so we find that here with Abraham, that promises were passed from Abraham to Isaac. Now, if you study Abraham's life, you'll find some faults there. You'll see some real issues in his life. If you follow Isaac's life, you'll find some real issues in Isaac's life. If you follow Jacob's life, I mean, he's the height of them all. And so the only person in this whole story right here that nothing is said ugly or nothing is said evil or nothing is said bad about is Joseph. But everybody else tonight, their lives, as we read the stories in Genesis, they're not perfect by no means tonight. But here's the fact. When God promises, God keeps. When God promised to Abraham a land, a people, a nation, a salvation, and it's going to come through thy seed, you better believe that Isaac, it's going to come through Isaac. Even if he's a sorry rascal, or he is somebody who's not even looked up to, he was a weak individual. I mean, he was something to be questioned. And yet we go from Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob's even worse than that. But we got to know and understand that God said, it's going to come through thy seed, Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's coming. It's going to come through that. No matter what, because God's faithful. God is true. God's word is true tonight. And so we see Abraham's grandson, death at death. We find, fourthly, Abraham's great grandson, faith at death. And that's Joseph. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, made commandment concerning his bones. So we find Jacob. Jacob blesses Joseph's sons. Let's turn there and look at this. This is pretty interesting. In Genesis chapter 48, Genesis 48, and look there in verse 8. Genesis 48, verse 8. I'm talking about tonight the promise of God and the faith to believe it. It began with Abraham. It went through Isaac. It went down to Jacob. It went into Joseph. And now we find that it's going into Joseph's sons. Genesis 48, verse 8. It says, Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel, that's Jacob,
were dim for age, so that he could not see. He brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God had showed me also thy seed. Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. Israel stretched out his right hand, laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. He blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. We find Manasseh, and we find tonight of Ephraim's, is going to be the seed continual. The faith is just continuing on. And so it's passing from generation to generation. Now turn your Bibles to chapter 50 of Genesis and verse 23. Jacob blesses Joseph's sons. But this is what Joseph believes tonight in Genesis 50, verse 23. Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. Now this is Ephraim's children. He says, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, God will surely visit you and bring you out this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. Now, we're talking tonight, it all began with Abraham, and Abraham had faith in God's promises. That faith was brought down to Isaac. Isaac now has faith. That faith was brought down to Jacob. Jacob now has that faith. That faith now has been brought down to Joseph, and Joseph has that faith. We find now the two children of Ephraim, the two children of Joseph tonight, have now been told from Joseph that God is going to give the land, that God is going to continue on His promise. And it's going to come through this seed that God's promised Abraham some years ago, and that faith is just being passed on. Passed on, we're going to believe it. We just believe it. We just believe it. We just believe it. Hey, we're not going to ever receive it. We're probably never going to see it, but we're not going to doubt it. We're not going to reject it. We're just going to believe it. We're just going to believe it. God, help us tonight as a church, as a people tonight, to live in such a way, to honor God in such a way that we live by faith, and that we live in this life of faith, that our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and even though we pass off the scene, that we won't be known for the recipes of food. We won't be known for the buildings we built. We won't be known for the guns or the coins or the baseball cards. Or we won't be known for the loving and kind and taking places and buying things and being rich or being poor or being smart or being dumb. We won't be known for all that, but we're known by the faith that we have for God, that just pass on and pass on and pass on. And so we find tonight that Joseph believes that God's going to give him a nation, going to give him a people, going to give him a land, going to give him a salvation. And so did his children, and so did his children's children. So did all those, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 in our text, these all died in faith. They all died in faith. But I tell you, they had that faith that God's going to keep His promise. Now, what are the promises of God to us tonight? What are they tonight? We don't have the same promises that Israel did back in this Hebrews chapter. You know, you got to understand tonight that the Hebrews were written to Hebrews. And Hebrews knew all the stories of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and Joseph and Manasseh and and all of those sons the two sons that he had there. They knew all the stories. They knew all the details. They had all the Jewish people had all the information, and that's why he just kind of writes. It's kind of funny to me that Isaac has lived longer than any of them. He lived longer than Abraham. He lived longer than Jacob. He lived longer than Joseph. But Isaac is hardly talked about. I mean, there's only one liner here. I mean, verse 20, verse 21, verse 22. It doesn't give us much information, does it, about those men? And yet all we can really look at and see is how that faith has just come down from generation to generation. Now, you and I have different promises now. But we still have promises. You and I had the same faith. They had faith in a Messiah that was going to come. They had a faith that seed was Jesus Christ. They had that faith. We have that same faith looking back now to the cross. They look to the cross. We look back to the cross. And so it's the same faith because it's the same God. But in that faith tonight, there's promises. There's the receiver of promises. That's the saved tonight. If you're saved tonight, you have received the promises of God. Whatever God has promised you, whatever God's word says in way of promises, you receive them. You have them. Now, it seemed like maybe that you should have got them from your mother or father. If we're passing on the faith, right? That my mother and father, they lived for Jesus. They lived for God. They had the promises of God. My mother and father, they taught us the Word of God. They showed us how to live for God. They went to church. They were faithful. They gave. They participated. They were partakers. My mother and father, I could say, listen, that's who I have learned this from. That's who I have got this from. It's sort of like Timothy, right, with his mother Lois and his grandma Eunice. And so we find tonight that's the way that God would have it to be. But then your mother and father, but then your grandma and grandpa, your grandmother and granddaddy. That's where it all should come from, in the passing of faith, right? I mean, many of y'all hint tonight may be first-generation Christians, where your mom and daddy wasn't Christians. Your grandma and grandpa wasn't Christians. And maybe sometime, long time ago, but you don't know of any, and you're kind of the first one. But that's not how it should work. It should work within passing the faith. Amen? I mean, grandpa, grandma, then mom and daddy, then you. And so you're the receiver of the promises. How about the teller of the promises? Who are you going to tell? You're going to tell your children. Right? It's responsibility of the parent to take the faith. The Bible talks about, in Romans chapter 1, faith to faith. How does people get saved? Somebody with faith telling them about faith. That's how it works. Somebody with the faith is going to tell somebody else tell them about the faith who they don't have of the faith. And so tonight, you as the receiver is also the teller. And so you receive it from your generation, from your mom and dad and grandpa and grandpa, grandma. And then you get it and you give it to your children. And then you give it to your grandchildren. And you give it to your great-grandchildren. And if God lets you live so far, you give it to your great-great-grandchildren. And so we find that's the teller of promises. Now, what are the promises? Well, the promises of heaven. The promises of heaven. I think tonight, if our grandma and grandpa didn't tell us about the promises of heaven, then they didn't do their job. I think mom and daddy, if they didn't tell me about heaven, about the promises of heaven, well, they didn't do what they should be doing. If I'm not telling my children about heaven tonight and the promises we have of heaven, then I'm falling short, not being right with God. If I'm not telling my grandchildren about heaven and the promises that we have of heaven tonight, then we're not following the Scripture. We're not doing what's right. Amen? So tonight we see that these promises, one of them, and I got a bunch of them. I mean, we have a bunch of them, but I'm going to give you just about five of them because I'm going to parallel them to the land. You know, they were looking for the land of the Hebrews. They were looking for the promised land, right? The land that flowed with milk and honey. And that was their land. And so we find tonight that we're looking for a better land, right? We're looking for a better place, which is heaven. And so that promise to us tonight is that when we die, we're going to go to heaven. Now, why didn't mom and daddy tell us that? Why didn't grandma and grandpa give us that truth? And then why don't we tell our children, why don't we tell our grandchildren the promises of God? Another promise that we have that God gives us is about salvation, the promise of salvation. It should have been mom and daddy or grandma and grandpa giving us the salvation plan. That's what should have happened. It should have been that them telling us that by faith it is a fact that you can be saved and know it, and you can be saved and be assured of it, and you can be saved and be secured in it. That's salvation tonight. That's the salvation that God gave Abraham, and it went through down his generations. It's the same it's the same faith that we have tonight, that God is going to give us salvation. I've got faith tonight that I have salvation, and I know it, but my mom and daddy should have told me of it. My grandma and grandpa should have said something to me about this salvation. And then tonight, I'm now responsible to give it to my children about Jesus, and you can know you're saved, you can be secure you're saved, you can be assured that you're saved, because that's what Jesus does. That's a promise we have. We can be saved. Amen? And tell our grandchildren. You're doing a disjustice tonight. You're not doing at all what God would have us to do tonight if we stop salvation and faith with us. I notice another promise, not only the land and salvation, land being heaven and salvation being salvation, but the promise of Christians as people. God has given promise to Abraham, I'm going to give you a people. God's given us a promise as a Christian. By faith, it is to be believed. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise to a Christian. Right? Grandma and Grandpa should have told me that. Mom and Daddy should sit down and say, hey, listen, let me tell you something. God's given you a promise that if you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you've never told your children about the promise that God has given you, and that is tonight that God will never leave you nor forsake you, shame on you. If you never gave your grandchildren this truth tonight, you say you're a Christian, you're not much one. What we find tonight, another promise concerning this about being a Christian is that He'll not ever leave you, but He'll protect you. He'll protect you. He'll provide for you. See, these are promises to Christians tonight, living right now, that God will not leave you. He'll always have His presence with you. He'll provide for you. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll lead you. And then someday He's coming back for you. That's the promises that Christians have tonight. Why didn't Grandma and Grandpa tell me these things? Why didn't Mom and Daddy tell us these things? Why aren't we giving these to our children, and why aren't we giving these to our grandchildren? Is faith going to stop with us? Is faith going to stop with you? This progressive handing down faith to the next generation, are you going to be the stoppage of that? You say, well, I'm too embarrassed. I don't want to make anybody mad. I don't want to create any problem in my family. I don't want to create any kind of issues amongst my family tonight. Well, go ahead and create issues amongst God then. You're going to be more fearful of God. You're going to be more fearful of man. Are you more interested in seeing your children and grandchildren getting to know Jesus Christ and going to heaven when they die? Or are you more interested in them being mad at you while you're on earth because you give them the gospel? Tonight, we have to understand what it requires of us to have faith tonight. The promise. Tonight, can I say, number four, that we have a promise of a nation. By faith, it is lived. The Bible says that we're a holy nation. Holy nation. That's what we are. We should have been told that by my mom, my grandma, my grandpa. Telling me that I'm a godly nation, that I'm a righteous nation, that I'm a holy nation. Godliness and righteousness must be my life. That when I live, I must live in a nation, not the nation of America, but the nation of a holy nation that's godly and righteous. Why didn't Mom and Daddy tell me those things? Why aren't we telling our children? Why aren't we telling our grandchildren? Passing on the faith tonight. We as Christians tonight, we may not ever see all the promises that God will give to us. But do we just believe them? Do we just receive them? Do we not doubt them? And do we not reject them? See, that's what happens in the midst of life, is that we believe God and we trust God and we love the Lord, and then something happens. And we say, you know what? I'm done with that. There's hypocrites in church. The preacher, all he wants is money. You know, the churches, all that, they're a bunch of sects and they're a bunch of people that who think they're more higher and mightier than me, and a bunch of Pharisees at that church. And boy, I tell you, they just turned my stomach, and I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to be part of the church. I'm just going to go back to where I used to be and who I used to live, how I used to live. You know what? I'm not telling my children nothing. I'm just going to give them that opportunity that when they grow up to make their own choice. If you've done that, you're a repent tonight. If you're saying that tonight, you're a fool. To allow your children to grow up, to make a choice of themselves without you giving them the gospel, telling them about Jesus and living the life before them so they won't die and go to hell, that's like telling them that, listen, if you go out in that street out there, you're going to get run over. But you don't warn them about going out in the street. You just tell him, go, put a blindfold on him, and say, just run down this road. You'll be okay. And he runs down that road and gets ran over and dies. That was his choice. That's foolish. That's not how God would want it tonight. And so we find tonight that we, as the people of God tonight, have to have this faith. Now listen, we can't change the past, right? If you're in this room right here and your past is eating you up, you're most miserable. If you're in this room tonight and your past is haunting you, tonight you'll never go any further. You'll still always be miserable. Your health will break down. You'll be a mental case. You'll be an emotional outbreak. It's just a matter of a next incident that you don't go off again. There's so many people who live in the past tonight and they cannot get in the present. You don't like you. We don't like you. You don't want to be nowhere. Everything's a mess. Everything is trouble. There's always fights. There's always arguments. There's always things going on because you can't leave the past. You can't change the past tonight. You say, well, nothing. Just forget the past. You cannot change it. But I'll tell you something else tonight. Not only can you not change the past, but you cannot conform the present. In other words, you can't make your children go to church. You can't make your grandchildren love Jesus. When I say you can't make your children go to church, I'm talking about adult children. You can't make your children, you can't make your grandchildren fall in love with this book. You can't conform the present. As much as you love, as much as you tell, as much as you show how good and grand and glorious Jesus is tonight, you can't conform them. So the present can't be conformed. The past tonight cannot change. But can I say this? You can curve the future. Tonight, in the present, you can make a difference in the future. If you and I tonight will just be determined that we're going to pass on this faith, I'm going to take the faith that I have tonight and I'm going to pass it on to my children every chance I get. And if I ever have any grandchildren, I don't have any, but if I ever have some, I'm going to give them Jesus and I'm going to pass on that faith. So when I'm dead and gone, maybe that faith can continue on. Passing on our faith to the next generation ought to be something you and I tonight have a desire and a determination. What a privilege tonight to be a Christian. Amen. Glory to God. I have enjoyed this Hebrews. It has helped me so much tonight. I pray tonight you take the message and that you would move forward in giving out that faith. You might be the first generation. You may not be. There's many people tonight who talk about their mom and daddies loving Jesus, loving the Lord, and boy, how I grew up in a home that was Christian, and how their mom and dad grew up in a home that's Christian. Hey, that's a wonderful case, but that's not everybody's case. There's no excuse tonight on the downward, though. You may not have received the upward, but you have lots of options for the downward now. So you must tonight understand faith. It's all about faith. Faith in the Lord. Amen. All right. Any prayer requests tonight? Brother George?